Well, I thought since today was the first Sunday of a new year, that I would talk with you a little bit today about the new and the successful. The new and the successful. We love and admire both of those things, new stuff and successful stuff. Let's think about the new first. Have you noticed that we often equate what's new with what's better? A new house is better than an old one. A new car is better than an old car. In American culture, at least, it's considered better to be young, newer, so to speak, than older. And by the same token, it's easy to make the assumption that a new year will be a better year. But is new always better? Well, in addition to new stuff, we're also impressed by whatever we consider successful. And boy, many books are published each year promising us success in one area of life or another, if we will only do whatever the author tells us to do. Maybe you got one of those books for Christmas. You know, health success, dieting success, financial success, relationship success. I wonder this morning how you define success. How do you define success? Most of the time, we tend to define success as something or someone that wins. A business with constantly improving profits is successful, or a successful career is supposedly marked by enlarged responsibility and increasing income. The Buckeyes won on Friday. They were successful, right? A person who weathers life's difficulties and somehow manages to stay on top, whatever on top means, is regarded as successful. But is success about winning? Have you ever wondered what God considers successful? How does He define success? Well, here we are just 3 days into 2016, and it is natural, it's normal, isn't it, to want to get just kind of a fresh insight into life and how to live successfully. So let's go there today. Let's get the new year off to a right start. And as we begin, I don't know if we need brand new insights into what makes life truly successful as much as we need just a fresh understanding and appreciation for some old, reliable, rock-solid truths that really never stop being true. And that's what the Old Testament book of Proverbs is all about. It's this collection of wise old truths inspired by the Holy Spirit on how to live a truly good, truly profitable, truly successful life this year or any year. And most of what you read in the book of Proverbs is stuff that you've already heard this in one way, shape, or form. But we need to hear it again. We need to hear it often. And it still has enormous value. Proverbs, the book, is all about how to live successfully before and with God, how to please God. And truth is timeless. And when you understand, and better yet, when you apply the truths that you find in the Bible, you will live out your life successfully. And that's what we want to think about today. That's what we want to do in 2016. So, with that in mind, I want to take you to a very familiar couple of verses in Proverbs 3. I wouldn't be surprised if many of you have committed these two verses to memory at some point in your life. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. please put your eyeballs on God's Word, either through your own Bible, a blue pew Bible, or your tablet or phone, whatever is handy, and just follow along as I read those two wonderful verses together. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Wonderful, wonderful promise there at the end of verse 6. God is going to make your path through life straight, or God will direct your journey through life. And I hear that, and I receive that as a promise for God's guidance and direction in 2016 for my life, and also how to just live life successfully, regardless whether it's the first day of the year or the last day of the year. But I want you to notice that that promise is preceded by three conditions. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own wisdom or understanding. Acknowledge God in everything that you do. And so I believe what the writer of Proverbs is saying is that if you keep those three conditions, you can expect to get God's direction in this year of your life. So I can guarantee you, at least from God's perspective, that you're going to have a truly successful year if you keep these three conditions. Okay? So let's talk about those a little bit more. First, you and I must enter into a relationship of trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's the first condition. And it's the first condition for living a truly successful life, a relationship of trust with God Himself. What does it mean, really, to trust God? Well, I think most of us in the room today know this is not kind of an academic, intellectual head knowledge or belief in a supreme being of some kind. The Bible makes it clear, doesn't it, that even the devil and his cohorts, the demons, believe in the existence of God, but obviously they don't trust Him. Trust doesn't amount to just a kind of a warm feeling about God either. You know, some people think that they trust God when they run into some kind of monumental problem, and then they go to God for help. No. If you only ever seek out God when life gets hard for you to handle, you don't know the meaning of trust, and you don't know the meaning of relationship. Have you ever been around someone who only has use for you when he or she is in some kind of trouble or needs your time or your money or your sympathy? Some of us are doing a mental catalog right now. But I wonder, do you treat God like that? Genuine trust depends on a genuine relationship. And you can only ever trust God when you start and then develop a personal relationship with Him. And trust is only built on firsthand knowledge of a person. That's why we want many of you to come to that devotional life seminar Amy was telling us about. You see, God is a person who can and wants to be known. And He can be trusted if you make the effort to get to know Him. Something else about trust. Trust demands dependency. Who do you depend on in life? Your spouse? Your parents? Your grown children, perhaps? Your close friends? Why? Well, because your relationship with them has given you a certain amount of knowledge about them that assures you that they are, in fact, dependable. You can count on them. They might even meet certain needs in your life, like Everything from fixing your leaky faucet to giving you a shoulder to cry on. Dependency, though, it's not something that we always welcome in ourselves. It can be threatening because, you see, it suggests maybe weakness or inability or incompetence or not having your act together. And again, our culture sometimes fights us on this. Have you noticed how in our culture we're encouraged to admire really independent people? And yet we learn from experience and through observation that sometimes the unhappiest and the least fulfilled people are more than likely to be the most independent. So it's wrong to try and live independently from God and from other people. That's not how God created you and me. He wired you up and he wired me up in such a way that real joy and true fulfillment in life depends on a genuine relationship with him and other people in a healthy way. There is an unhealthy kind of dependence. I understand that, but we're not talking about that. God doesn't want you to be isolated. He does not want you to live independently of him or others. God wants you to be connected. And here's a suggestion then for 2016. Begin each new day with a fresh new awareness of how much you need God. And how much you need those that he has brought into your life. Welcome that kind of dependency because that's trust. Trust also demands love, doesn't it? It's impossible to love someone in a healthy way without also trusting that person. And by the same token, you trust someone to the extent that you love him or her. And truth and love go hand in hand in any good healthy relationship. And my friend, you will only trust God to the extent that you really love God. And the more that you love God in 2016, the more you will trust in him. And did you notice where you are to place ultimate trust in life? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. I mean, how easily we human beings will put trust in almost anything or anyone else before we put our trust in the Lord. I mean, should we put our ultimate trust in our government and in our political leaders? God help us. I mean, we're going to be electing a new president in 2016. Should we put our ultimate trust in him or her? Should we put our trust in the military, the police, the intelligence community? Well, how about trusting our financial institutions, the banks, the stock market? See, all those people and things have their place. They aren't evil in and of themselves, but none of them deserve your ultimate trust or mine. Listen to what the Bible says, again from the book of Proverbs. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in people. Boy, isn't that the truth. Now, sometimes people put their ultimate trust in things rather than people. The most prevalent alternative to God in our culture when it comes to trust and security, let's face it, folks, it's money and the things that money can buy. Possessions. You know, houses and savings accounts and insurance policies, investments, the job that you go to. Those are, frankly, the real gods of many people today. Now, there's everything good and worthwhile about material possessions, but never as the ultimate security of your life and of mine. And they were never meant to be the things in which you and I put our trust. So hear what the Bible says right at the beginning of 2016. Teach those who are rich in this world. Let me pause right there. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not rich. My friend, let me tell you something. Compared to most of the people in the world, every person in this room is rich. Okay, so this verse applies to you and to me. Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in who? God, who richly gives us all that we need for our enjoyment. Okay. Again, we're told here, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Now, why is the Lord such an appropriate receiver of your trust and mine? Well, you say, well, Rick, that's pretty obvious, isn't it? Well, yes, but sometimes it's good to remind ourselves of the obvious. Just go through the mental exercise of it. First of all, God knows the end from the beginning, doesn't he? I mean, you don't even know what's going to happen later today. And then, isn't it true that God never changes? I mean, everything about your life and mine is full of change. Situations change, circumstances change, people change. God never changes. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then God never fails. Other people will fail you. They will. And don't get hard-nosed about this. You're going to fail other people too. You might even fail yourself. But God never fails. And I love the promise in the Bible. In fact, one of the hymns we sang today is based on this scripture. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. Wow, what a promise. And then there's the single most important reason for you and me to put ultimate trust in the Lord. God loves you. God loves me. Let's not forget that one. My goodness. In the Bible, God says, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. With unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. You know, in tropical climates, there's a beautiful flower called the hibiscus. And it blossoms come in array of colors, yellow, white, orange, red. And hibiscus seems to grow everywhere throughout the year. It colors the countryside with these great splashes of beautiful color. And the blossoms come, as you can see, there are many different shapes and textures and so forth. Now, one of the unique aspects of the hibiscus, and I didn't know this, is that it blooms every morning, and the bloom lasts only one day. Just one day. And I want to suggest to you that, in a sense, that's how it is with God's love for you and me. It blooms fresh every morning. Every morning it's there, fresh. And God is going to provide you and me with this fresh supply of his mercy and his love and his faithfulness every new day in 2016. He won't provide you today what you're going to need tomorrow. No, you need to come to him each day. And then at the beginning of each new day, ask him for a fresh supply of his love and of his grace. Let his love blossom in you every new day as you acknowledge him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Well, the meaning is pretty obvious. It's putting it into practice that's hard. And to me, it simply means that I trust God with every bit of my life. Now, why is that hard to do? Because, you see, people have failed us, and we're afraid that God is going to fail us too, or perhaps we're worried that if we trust God with every bit of our lives, God is going to take advantage of us somehow. So we end up trusting God with half of our hearts rather than all of our hearts, and half-hearted trust in God simply will not do. Because God reveals himself, and he guides those who will take the risk of trusting him with their whole hearts. Listen to what God says in the Bible. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. If you look for me, how? Wholeheartedly, you will find me. And here again, this amazing the payoff, if we do trust God wholeheartedly. From the prophecy of Isaiah, we read, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. So trust in the Lord with all of your heart. That's the first condition, and it might be the most important condition of these three, of living a successful life in 2016. It's a relationship of wholehearted trust with and in the living God, a relationship of trust. Now, here's a second condition. Let's call it a rejection of self. Because we read here in the first and the second part of chapter or verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. So if you want to live a truly successful life in 2016, learn how to reject yourself. That sounds strange, doesn't it? But that's what Scripture says. It's important to point out what the Bible does not mean about rejecting yourself. This has nothing to do with hating yourself or despising yourself or thinking of yourself as some worthless, valueless lump. Quite the contrary. Being a follower of Jesus is necessary to having a correct sense of your value and a healthy love of self. Thinking rightly about yourself is a direct result of thinking about and relating to God rightly first. But my friend, you can't trust in the Lord with all of your heart and trust in yourself too. Elsewhere, the writer of Proverbs writes, those who trust their own insight are foolish. It's a matter of what's ultimate. You can't have God as your ultimate object of personal trust while trying to find ultimate security in what you yourself can provide. And again, folks, we live in a culture, this is where our culture does not help us, we live in a culture that constantly pushes all sorts of self-help philosophies and techniques. You know, the answers are within you, and discover your hidden potential, blah, 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 blah. And if life's answers are within you and me, then Jesus died in vain, didn't he? I mean, there's no reason to celebrate the Lord's Supper in a few moments. But no, Jesus came, Jesus died, Jesus rose again precisely because you could not help yourself. I could not help myself when it comes to the biggest issues of life. And so whenever you lean or you depend on yourself too much, you quickly discover your own weakness, your own inability, your own tendency to fail and to blow it. Successful living discovers what it means to depend on and lean on God. It doesn't mean failing to use your brain or thinking carefully before making decisions, but instead, where do you go to find comfort? Where do you go to find comfort? Only God is going to provide true comfort during those times when grief threatens to overwhelm you. Where do you go to find joy? Only God brings joy out of pain. Where do you go to find peace? Only God gives real peace right in the midst of uncertainty or turmoil that might come into your life in 2016. Where do you go to get forgiveness? Only God forgives sin. Only God can remove guilt. How about direction? Where do you go to get direction in 2016? Only God provides flawless direction. And if you try and answer life's questions, or if you try and navigate around life's obstacles from your own limited understanding, life will quickly become a confusing, angry, and bitter journey. What's going to happen to you and me in 2016? Who knows? Who can know? Only God. Only God. And in light of that obvious fact, don't depend on your own understanding. Don't lean on yourself. Instead, consciously and intentionally lean upon God and God alone. There is a story of a young Navy ensign who had just completed his first overseas cruise. And he was given the opportunity to display his developing abilities to get this Navy ship underway. And so with a stream of commands, he had the decks buzzing with personnel. And sure enough, soon the ship was steaming out of the port where it had been docked en route to its next destination. And he was feeling really pleased with himself. With the success that he had taken this boat out, and another seaman approached him with a message from the captain. And yes, it was a little surprising to receive a radio message from the captain. But his surprise got even deeper when he read the actual message from the captain itself. It said, "My personal congratulations upon completing your underway preparation exercise according to the book and with amazing speed. In your haste, however, you have overlooked one of the unwritten rules. Make sure the captain is aboard before getting underway." Is it possible, so to speak, to set sail off into a new year and leave the captain of your life back on shore? Of course it is. It's only too easy. It happens all the time. Don't leave God back at the port while you sail off into 2016. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, relationship of trust. Do not depend on your own understanding or rejection of self. And my friends, if we're going to live successfully in this new year, it will also be because we follow through on a third and essential condition, and this is simply a recognition about life and how to live it. Seek His will in a little bit of what you do. No. Just checking. See if you're still with me. Seek His will in how much?
All
you do. And He will show you which path to take. So how do you do that? How do you seek God's will in all that you do? Well, you know, for me, the two words every day and everywhere just seem to kind of sum it up. There's an everydayness, there's an everywhereness that we need to practice in our relationship with God. And frankly, there are some days that we just don't feel like trusting God. Watch out. Because when you give into that feeling, failure is not far away. There are some situations in life that we just don't want to trust God for either. Isn't it strange how some of us, we can trust God to get us into heaven when we die, but we don't trust God with our marriage. We don't trust God with our finances. We don't trust God with our job. We don't trust God with our kids. We say to ourselves, "That's okay, I'll handle it." Big mistake. When you invite God into your life every day and everywhere, that's the best way to live life successfully. Every day and everywhere you become aware of God's presence. Every day and everywhere you seek out God's purpose and plan. Every day and everywhere you learn to draw upon His strength, His knowledge, His grace. The late Thomas Merton was a Roman Catholic monk and an author of several books last century. And just this week I came across a prayer that he wrote that I think expresses well how we might make these two verses, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, a prayer in our own lives. It's called the Merton Prayer, and it goes like this. And by the way, in your bulletins today on the back of that message notes page, I put that prayer there because it may be something you want to kind of hold on to. You might find yourself in need of praying this prayer at some time in 2016. But the prayer goes like this: My Lord God, I have no idea where I am going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end, nor do I really know myself. And the fact that I think I am following your will does not mean that I'm actually doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does, in fact, please you. And I hope I have that desire in all that I'm doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing about it. Therefore, I will trust you always, though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death. I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to face my perils alone. It's well said, isn't it? Well said. Seek his will in all that you do. Every moment of your life belongs to God. Every area of your life belongs to God. And when you live out that principle, it's going to transform your life and how you live it. Even the most trivial and mundane aspects of your life will take on kind of a sacred and a spiritual quality. You will face difficulties and tough situations and disagreeable people in God's limitless sufficiency and not in your own feeble, limited strength. You will become more than just a Sunday Christian. God save us from those. Just an occasional follower of Jesus. You can experience being constantly filled with the power of the Holy Spirit so God can use you all the time with all kinds of people in all kinds of situations. And my friend, when you live like that, then this marvelous promise that we read this morning will become yours. God will indeed show you which path to take this day and every day in this new year of 2016 and every year thereafter. So let me finish today's message by asking a question that I guess I asked at the beginning. How many of you want to have a successful year? How many of you want to live successfully in 2016? Okay. Well, folks, here's the prescription in black and white. Trust in the Lord. Why don't you say it with me? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Let's learn how to access God's power for every conceivable issue, need, or concern, literally every day and everywhere in 2016. Back in the early days of our country, there's a story about a weary traveler that came to the banks of the Mississippi River. It was getting late in the day, and this was in a time before any bridge had been built across the Mississippi River. And it was getting late in the day, and he wanted to cross the Mississippi before it got dark. Now, it was winter time, and they were obviously having a much colder winter that year than we are this year because the mighty Mississippi was frozen over. But how frozen was it? It was hard to tell what the thickness of the ice was. So, as I said, he wanted to make it across, get on the other side of the river before nightfall. So He gingerly stepped out onto the ice, and he got down on his hands and his knees, and he did that in order to distribute his weight across the ice as much as possible, and he began to creep and to crawl across the frozen Mississippi River very carefully, sure that he wouldn't break the ice and fall in. And he was about halfway across the river when all of a sudden he heard the sound of singing behind him. And he turned, and out of the dusk came a team of horses carrying a load of coal across the ice, and the guy that was driving the team was just singing at the top of his lungs. It was at that moment that that guy on his hands and knees felt very foolish. Okay? I mean, here he was just kind of creeping and crawling across the ice. And here's this guy with a team of horses and a load of coal with confidence running across that ice. Here we are in the beginning of a new year. I wonder, are you afraid to kind of put all of your weight on God in this new year? You know, you're just a little bit tentative. Oh, careful, careful, careful. Are you afraid that if you trust God too much, that he won't be trustworthy? So you gotta be kind of careful with God. Or is there an abandonment, a recognition that you can jump up and down on God and his promises because of who he is and because of what he has done? I hope that as you and I enter into a new year of life with this amazing God, that we will live with confidence, not creeping and crawling, but with confidence, saying, I know who my God is. I know what he's done for me. And I'm going to live with confidence and abandonment before him. I'm going to sing all this year through. Let's pray. Father God, how grateful we are that you can be trusted. Lord, there's many of us in this room that could tell story after story after story after story of your faithfulness and how you have protected us and kept us. Lord, there may be others of us, we have gone through a difficult time and, well, just to be honest, we're a little tentative, we're a little gun shy, we're a little concerned about whether we can put all of our weight on you. And yet, Lord, that's the prescription for a truly successful year and a truly successful life. There's no one else that really demands our trust like that other than you. And so, Lord, we just want to enter into that relationship of trust. We recognize that it means a conscious and deliberate rejection of ourselves as any kind of ultimate security. And it means that we wake up every morning recognizing that we need to seek you in all that we do. There is no part of our lives that is outside of your lordship. And so, Lord, we thank you that we can claim that promise to be guided by you. You're gonna set our paths straight. You're going to lead us through this year. But, Lord, help us to remember the conditions. Trust in you with all of our hearts. Don't lean on our own understanding. And seek your will in all that we do. Father, thank you that if we meet those conditions this year, you will give us a truly successful and blessed life. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.